Grace, mercy, and peace be yours in abundance
from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. As I mentioned, our focus of the message today is on Colossians chapter 3, just looking at verses 12 to 14. If you listen to the radio or watch TV at all over the last week or so, you couldn't help but notice that pretty much every weight loss program you can think of is starting to hit the advertising pretty heavily. Normally, under normal circumstances, there would also be a lot of athletic centers, workout centers that would also be advertising. Not sure, those will probably start up after the 4th again once things open up a little bit more. But this time of year, you know, we've just spent the last 4 weeks since Thanksgiving all the way through Christmas, for the most part, eating, celebrating, and now the ads are there to remind you that the new year is a new opportunity for a new you as you try to maybe shed the pounds, get back into a little better shape, or somehow move past these holidays of feasting. Well, over the same stretch of time, pretty much since right after Thanksgiving through now, we have been feasting not just on cookies and food and specialties and the like. We have been feasting on the good news. We spent 4 weeks of Advent talking about Jesus coming, anticipating not just how he once came, how the prophets anticipated his coming, but how he will come again. And then to celebrate his first coming with our Christmas celebrations, how God has gifted us with the Christ child, how he has encouraged us and fed us and nourished us and lifted us up. And now here we are this day, having feasted on the good news, and we turn to the Apostle Paul because he has some advice for us on the new you. Only it's not about what you need to shed or get rid of so much as it is about putting on display the changes. The new you, the renewed you in Christ. And so we turn to Paul's letter to the Colossians, but since this is the first time we've looked at the book of Colossians in a while, I thought it'd be good to just give a little bit of a review on why this letter was written in the first place. The letter to the Colossians is one of four letters that Paul wrote during his first Roman imprisonment. A guy by the name of Epaphras had come from Colossae to visit the Apostle Paul because Epaphras had some concerns about his home congregation. Now, interestingly, Paul had never actually been to Colossae. It was one of those places that got started by others, but of course, the Apostle Paul was seen to be the authority, the one out there amongst the Gentiles preaching that good news. And so Epaphras came to him because there were some things that needed to be addressed. Can you imagine writing a letter to a group of people that you knew only by reputation, but had to do some rebuking, a little bit of chastisement, some encouragement on how they needed to change their viewpoint? I think that's hard enough doing that with people you've met face to face. I don't know, maybe it is easier if you've never met them to write off a letter like that. But like the Apostle Paul, he loved his brothers and sisters in Colossae, and so he wrote to them about the things that were going on. Paul counters some of the destructive ideas that were going on there. They were getting into Judaism and legalism and ritualism on the one hand. And then if all that wasn't bad enough, on the other hand, they were being influenced by the Hellenistic, the Greek philosophies of so-called enlightenment. And all of that was going around amongst those Colossians. And the thing was that they had that pure message of the gospel, but they thought they could make it even better by bringing in some of these other ideas that somehow they weren't getting enough from the Lord. And so the Apostle Paul needed to remind them that they had that pure, simple message of the gospel. God's love for them in Christ. And not only was that enough, but it made an incredible change in them, that there was a new you for each of them to behold as the Spirit went to work in them and as they put God's love on display in their lives. And so the Apostle Paul, by the time we get to chapter 3 here, is already talking about holy living among the Colossians and how the Holy Spirit went to work in them to aid them in their holy lives. In fact, in verse 10, he talks about the new self renewed in the image of its creator, and how the new self then gladly, willingly accepts the fact that Christ is all and is in all. That's verse 11. The believer's Christ-centered life always strives to glorify the Savior. And so what a fitting text for today. Again, we've just feasted on that beautiful message of the gospel for these last weeks and these last days, how God sent his only Son down to this earth, God with us, to be one of us, to win eternal salvation for us. And now here's the difference that it all makes as the Lord inspires the Apostle Paul to write to the Colossians. Therefore, as God's elect, holy and loved, clothe yourselves with heartfelt compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with one another and forgive each other if anyone has a complaint against anyone else. Forgive just as Christ forgave you. And in addition to all these things, put on love, which ties things together in perfect unity. Now imagine for a moment, and it's, I know, a little bit tough to do, especially in these days, but imagine for a moment that life is a party. Despite all the effects of sin that, well, does a number on all of us. In fact, it's a very special party, and everyone needs to be there. Now, you've been to this party for years past, but it's different this year because the Holy Spirit has gone to work on you. This new self that the Apostle Paul is talking about. And it may be the first and the last time that the rest of these people will get to see the new you as you walk into this party. You want to make a good impression. And sticking with Paul's illustration here, you have to pick out just the right outfit to wear. It's always a tough decision. All you know is that you want to look your best because you were invited by God. He says, God's elect, holy and dearly loved. Out of billions of people in the world, he invited you. What a privilege. What an honor. And what's even more astounding is he didn't choose you because you were special. No, he chose you out of his deep love for you, and that is what makes you special in God's eyes. And so here you are, chosen to attend this ball, this party, and now you have to find something to wear. Do you have anything? Some of you might be familiar with the relationship counselor Emerson Eggerichs, and this is his take on the difference between men and women. When a man stands in front of his closet and says, I have nothing to wear, he means he has nothing clean to wear. When a woman stands in front of her closet and says, I have nothing to wear, she means I have nothing new to wear. Well, you don't have to worry about either one of those because everything you have that the Lord wants you to put on is both new and clean because he has made the new you to be you in Christ. And it's all been designed, sewn, created specifically for you. And so Paul takes us through the fashion show. He says, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Compassion is what the Samaritan felt toward the man who fell among thieves in Luke chapter 10. It's what Jesus felt toward the crowds who were like sheep without a shepherd in Mark chapter 6. Basically, it sees the hurt of others. Your heart goes out to them, and you do what you can to relieve it. Kindness is a goodness found in God, demonstrated by God in his saving acts. It's also a quality demonstrated by the believer as we forgive each other in Christ. Humility was demonstrated by the tax collector who pounded his chest and wouldn't even look up to heaven in Luke chapter 18. And by Jesus, who gave up his full glory to come down to earth to be like his creation. Christian apologist said that humility, C.S. Lewis, said that humility is not thinking less of yourself, but rather thinking of yourself less. And so as we live our lives, it's not about us, it's about others. He goes on and talks about gentleness. It's a characteristic which Jesus uses to describe himself in Matthew chapter 11, which makes his followers willing to come to him, to learn from him. It's a magnetic quality that attracts cautious people, polarizes others. And patience, it's what makes us willing to suffer and suffer long, even as the Lord suffered the very pangs of hell for you and me. That's the outfit: compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. And when you walk into a room wearing those things, you stand out. In fact, you are dazzling. But the outfit's not complete, because of course, we have to accessorize. Bear with one another, he says, and forgive each other. If anyone has a complaint against anyone else, forgive just as Christ forgave you. Paul reminds us that even if we're wearing our Christian clothing all the time, he reminds us that if we are not forgiving, if we are claiming to wear these things, trying to look like we wear these things, but if we aren't forgiving others, we're undermining the whole thing. Fake knockoffs. If we cannot forgive as we have been forgiven, we need to do this. Because when we forgive from the heart, when we forgive as we have been forgiven in Christ, then all these things, well, they make our compassion and our kindness and our gentleness and our humility and our patience genuine, because we are imitating Christ. And yet there is still one more item, the one item that kind of brings it all together. I'm not even going to pretend that I know that much about fashion, but maybe you know a lot or a little, but you know that oftentimes there is just sort of one item in the outfit that kind of brings it all together. One thing that maybe you either built around it, or the one thing that pulls all the colors and textures together. And it's no different when it comes to our spiritual outfit. Paul says, in addition to all these things, put on love, which ties them together in perfect unity. It is love that makes the outfit. It is love that brings us all together. Our compassion, our kindness, our humility, our gentleness, our patience, our forgiveness to others. It is love that brings them all together. It compels us to put on this beautiful outfit that God has given us. And it is love that helps us to wear that outfit not in pride, but in humility. Not to shove it in the face of others, but to help them and encourage them and pick them up. In fact, that word love in our text for today, it has that idea of constantly doing it. Giving of ourselves and looking for nothing in return. It's the very love that God has shown to you and me. It's the love that moved him to send his son Jesus as our Savior to be born in a stall and placed in a manger. It's the love of God that moved him to give up his son to die in the place of you and me. It's the love that moved God to say here, take salvation as my free gift. have a place in heaven, guaranteed by the very blood of my Son. Here is my love, which I want you to show to others, that you can't help but show to others as my Spirit lovingly goes to work in your heart. And it is the very love that lights up the Heavenly Father's face as you walk into that party dressed in the outfit which He created specifically for you. You are spectacular in Jesus. Just take a look at yourself in the mirror. I know sometimes we don't like what we see there because we know who we have been. But look now in that mirror and know that this is the new you. This is who God has created you to be in His Son, Jesus Christ, clothed with heartfelt compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness and patience, forgiveness and love, tied together with Jesus and one another in perfect unity. Welcome to the party. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard our hearts and our minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.